Hello, hello, Tyler Bryan here. Hope everything's going well. Today I want to talk about Bloom, and this is very exciting. It is the world's largest open multilingual language model. And just to set the stage a little bit for this, there are some companies right now who are building large language models, and they're basically scraping the vast web of all human generated text across the internet. And then they're enabling you to interact with the model that they've built. And the company's doing that famously, are OpenAI, Cohere. Google has sort of their own model of this. I'm guessing Amazon, Microsoft are working towards this. And what the sort of challenge here is that these models are very expensive to train. There's a great article here by TechCrunch on this. It's very expensive, $1 million plus to train these large language models, and then generally they are then held by private companies with private incentives, and then that limits the access that people can have to them. And it can be very costly if you look at tapping into the OpenAI GPT-3 API. It's expensive. They're trying to figure out how to price DALL-E right now. I'm sure that it will be somewhat expensive. And really, all this does is create a little bit of sort of conflict in the actual training of the model, the language that it's trained on, the goals of the model, and the output that it has, and then the sort of responsibility, the ethics that are built into these foundational language models, which are just early in their impact on the world today. This will continue to grow. There's more and more work going into these, and so even on this example, Bloom, which was an initiative, a joint initiative by Hugging Face, GenSci, Idris, they came together sort of understanding this sort of larger context, the need to make these large language models more accessible, knowing the cost. They used $7 million of public funds and grants to make this model actually come together. And then released it in an open source manner so that researchers could they could download it, they could run it, they can study it, and it's then accessible right on Hugging Face. And there's even a hosted inference API here, so that if you don't have the access to large servers and computing, that you can actually interact with the system here. So this is a huge sort of release and announcements. I'm really interested to see how this impacts companies like OpenAI, Cohere, both from a business perspective, and then also I think just a perception perspective, which is these are private institutions with investment, with goals to return that investment, and then the impact that has on the decisions that are made in the sort of how the business model is structured. Whereas this is a much more sort of open science approach and allowing you to interact with the system, understand it better, and I think we're going to see a lot of innovation come out of it. The other thing that really stuck out to me, which I think is fantastic, is that it was trained on many different languages. So 46, I believe, yeah, 46 languages. There is a full printout in on this thread here, which is awesome to see. All the different, there are some questions. Why not Dutch? Where's the German? But then some other people excited about Tamil and, some more underserved languages traditionally that are actually available in this model, which then allow you to generate text in that language, which is very exciting. And we're seeing a push towards, Facebook released, 200 plus language automatic sort of translation and understanding. There's more and more work being done to serve underserved languages that were not necessarily available in these models and then are not necessarily part of these more private models. So there is something really exciting about this. It's a massive language model, 176 billion parameters, which puts it at the size of sort of this GPT model that OpenAI has released. And overall, like a lot of work went into this. A year, 1,000 volunteer researchers, ethicists, philosophers, legal scholars all came together to put this sort of bring this to life, and this is where it's actually gone live here now, which is really exciting. And then looking at, like OpenAI, DeepMind, and then working across these multiple languages. So the other part that was really fascinating to me that stuck out is basically this idea of responsible AI being one of them. So building ethics and thinking of the consequences of this. And there are, have been a lot of challenges with large language models because of the data that it pulls off the web and, you know, the toxic, you know, the hate, the all the bad things that are part of the internet that also makes compared to all the good things on the internet are all pulled into these models. And so then you need to think of, if I'm generating text, you know, what are the possible outputs of that? And so private companies are trying to understand how to deal with that. And then it seems like there was a much more intentional approach just because of the sort of fundamental collaboration over Bloom here that has made it come from a little bit more of an ethical approach. It's really cool here. You can see the languages that are included. And so there's this idea of like, what can you use it for, direct use? And then what is misuse and what is out of scope use? And then what is misuse? So these are things that are really, important. I'm having experience with GPT-3, with DALL-E right now, and have noticed sort of even very hard stops in the keywords that they let you use to generate images, for example, with DALL-E. And I think Hugging Face and, you know, everyone who is part of this will continue to monitor and figure out how are people using this, what are they studying, what are the possible outputs that could be dangerous for the world, dangerous for humanity. And I think overall this is an important part of this work, which is we've almost opened up a Pandora's box. And what does this mean for us as people who are impacted by this, with the consequences of, you know, multilingual language generation across the entire internet at speeds that humans are not capable of? These are huge consequences to this if done, not done right. So some really interesting things here about the intended users. So there is, you know, almost anyone can access this. There was one other part that I wanted to touch on, which I thought was really interesting and I think is really worthwhile, is the environmental impact of it. So the training supercomputer they use, Jean's A, I think I have this website open, but I'll open it again just as a, yeah. The supercomputer here was used. And again, this took a long time to train. I forget exactly the length, but several months to train this after a year plus of work. And started March, ended July. So this is very recent that this has come to life and is now published. But then they're sort of measuring, using mostly nuclear energy, the heat it's generated, and then estimated carbon emissions, and then estimated electricity usage. And I think this is something that we're going to see more of, both from a sort of responsible AI as we look at sort of the carbon impact of training these models. And then I just think generally it's a good trend to have as we monitor and understand the impact on the environment that we have as we're building these, large language models and just technology in general. And as everything moves towards AI, machine learning, there's a lot of things that are really valuable. There's a lot of things that are not necessarily valuable. And all of those are consuming energy, vast amounts of energy. And that is something for us to consider there. So I'll go back to the original sort of announcement right on sort of the huggingface.co big science subdomain. And what I also like and am excited about is that this is only the beginning. So first of all, I love the name Bloom. Wonderful. One of my a good song that I listen to, sort of like a morning meditations song, is called Bloom. So I enjoy that. And I think this is really exciting, is that Hugging Face has been very collaborative with the development community. And this is not just like a one-time model that is going to sit there static. It's the seed of a living family of models that we intend to grow. And then the community will be able to support that. You'll be able to see where positive things are happening. You'll be able to see where negative things are happening, and then use all that information to make this model more powerful, more safe. And those are things that I'm, grateful to see that there are organizations working on. And again, there could still be lots of problems that come from this, but overall, it seems generally the intentions are really good. Yeah, you can see the final run of 117 days there. So the other part, I think, I touched on a couple parts here, which were how large it is in comparison to OpenAI models, DeepMind, et cetera, et cetera, the natural languages, and then the programming languages that are included, the fact that it's available to download, run, and study, which I have the link here, will be included in the resources, sort of this idea of the responsible AI vision that they have and the intention, and then the environmental impact sort of statistics that they're doing, and then just this continued improvements with community involvement, which I think is fantastic. And the interest in this stuff is, as it comes to life, as it becomes more practical, is at an all-time high. And again, sort of the early stage, almost I feel like we're in the sort of cave people, fire sparks, and maybe we've just got a very, very small fire. That's where it sort of seems we are in this space, and this is just getting started. And now open source versions, open access versions of this are going to accelerate that even further, just like Mini DALL-E has Crayon now, just as GPT-3 has, just as DALL-E has. And it's great to see different organizations coming from different sort of vehicles, nonprofit, open source, private, all sort of culminate towards this common goal of these large language models, is understanding of human language, of intelligence, and then incredible classification and generation that is possible. One thing I would say, I would love to see, and I think this will come, it sounds like this Bloom is not necessarily made for image generation, it's made for text generation, but a lot of the practices that are available or there and the team that they have seems very capable of building in this image generation version. So I expect at some point we will see a high resolution version, a high resolution image generator, sort of rivaling DALL-E, created in sort of the same model that Bloom has. So that's sort of, I guess, a small prediction there. There's probably many things that I have glossed over, possibly even gotten wrong during this video. So if you feel that way, please encourage you to send me a message. I would love to learn. I'm digesting this information as it comes, but thought this was really exciting for anyone who's interested in natural language processing and AI and technology and nonprofits and open source, all this wonderful stuff sort of culminating together with a bunch of amazing organizations and talented people trying to do their best to figure out how to bring this to life in a responsible way. So this has been a video on Bloom, the world's largest open source, open access, multilingual language model. Man, that's a little bit of a mouthful, but the final name is good. And I love the use of the emoji here on the end. If you like this stuff, please feel encouraged to send me a message, send me a like, comment, subscribe, all those good things. I have so much fun covering this stuff, and now I'm learning from people who are commenting and sending me messages. So overall, really grateful to spend a couple minutes each day delving into these topics, learning myself and then learning from you, and hopefully we're all learning together. So thank you very much. This has been Tyler Bryden. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.